This is the year of change. How many of you are experiencing change already? 10 days into the year. Yeah? I believe that God is true to His word. When He says it's a year of change, means there will be changes that will come in our place. And last week we talked about the two areas that we really, really need to think about, because these are the areas that God wants us to deal with first. Number one, attitude. In the area of attitude, change needs to begin from the inside out. We need to have a new perspective of how we see things and how things, how God wants us to see things. Secondly, there needs to be change in authority. As our attitude changes, God will lay before us greater authority. And when we take greater authority, we need to allow God to work in us and through us. I've been asking the Lord, Lord, how do we grow in this area more and more? The Lord seems to be saying, you know, I want your church, my church, God's church, to be thinking about this area of attitude and authority a little bit more in the coming days. So the Lord brought to mind two passages. Luke chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 22. Luke chapter 14, this is the parable of the great banquet. The one in Matthew chapter 22 is the parallel passage. So we'll just read the one in Luke, and then we'll flip over to Matthew in a bit. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 onwards. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus begins to tell this parable in verse 16 onwards. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This parable tells us about the kingdom of God and what it's going to be like in the days that is to come. But I want to use this parable to help us reflect a little bit on the two things that we talked about. That is a change of attitude and a change of authority. We need to have a right attitude and a right approach towards authority that God is going to give us here this year in our lives in the year of change. I believe that Jesus, God, is gathering people. He's about gathering people together in the kingdom of God. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how is our attitude towards that? He tells this parable where, you know, there's this guy who sets off a party, a celebration. There is a great banquet that's happening. But the first thing that we see about these who were invited is that their priorities have been misplaced. There is a misplacement of priorities in their lives. So there's this guy who said, hey, wait a minute, I just bought a field, I cannot come. I just bought, you know, oxen, and I cannot come. I've got things to do. I just got married. Can't come. Priorities that have been misplaced. Now for us, perhaps, there are things in our lives that can. And if we allow them to, they will cloud our life and overtake certain priorities that God has required for us. For example, coming together as a church to celebrate and to worship together. Work is important. And this guy just bought a field. Of course, you don't buy a field and just leave it there to rot, right? You don't buy a field and say, you know, let's whatever grows in it, let it grow. The fact that you went out to buy a field is because you chose to work and hopefully be able to harvest a great harvest. But then this guy says, I cannot come. Because there are other things, there's work that is a higher priority than being in your presence. Someone else says, hey, I bought some good stuff. Oxen. Perhaps there are things in our lives. I'm going home to try it. I just bought a new car, you know, I gotta go and try it out. Can't come to church because I gotta test out my car. Test out my new computer, can't come to church. Your smile, I've heard that before, you know. I'm serious. I got to install stuff in the computer, I can't come to church. Things begin to cloud our priorities. Relationships. I just got married. Can't come to church. Incidentally, if you get married on a Saturday, Sunday, you must come to church. Huh? Don't say, I just got married, I can't come to church. Relationships can cloud our lives so that our priorities sometimes get misplaced. I cannot come. You know, when I was in Sunday school, I don't know whether you hear this song. You have heard this song before? I cannot come. One person nodding it, nodding the head. I cannot come to the banquet. We have the song up here. I put the song up, you know. I just found the lyrics. Don't trouble me now. I've married a wife and I bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray. Pray, hold me, excuse, I cannot come. Some more dare ask you to pray. As a youth, right? Yeah, you're saying I'm old now. Eh? As a youth, we used to sing this song a lot without realizing why you are singing, you know. And we would sing, you know, we would declare in our youth group, I cannot come. Of course, there's the verse to it, which actually tells you the story. Put the verse up. Okay? So the verse tells you the story. A certain man had a feast, alright, and, you know, he laid this table and just keep going. And then at the end of it, it tells you that, you know, God is calling people. Show the very last stanza. Okay? That God is preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day. And when the Lord and His Master calls us, be certain not to say, I cannot come. I cannot come. At least one feels like singing with me. It is very easy to have things crowd us. And then we go on to the next level, you know. Once our priorities are misplaced, right? The next thing that happens is that our excuses are multiplied, you know. Once our priorities are misplaced, we step into the next level, and then what happens is excuses multiplies. We've got one excuse after another, one excuse after another. Why we cannot come? Why we cannot heed to the call of God? Why we cannot move when God says move? Why we cannot give and sacrifice when God makes that call? Because when priorities are misplaced, all over the place, excuses begins to multiply. In those days, there's the wedding, right? Unlike our setting right now, you know, you get invited to a wedding and you are told wedding starts at 5 o'clock, dinner is at 7, and you have to be there at 5, or before 5. In those days, when there is a banquet, a wedding, it lasts for a couple of days, if not weeks. So there is no such thing that I'll be late for the wedding. In those days, you're not late on. Because if you come half an hour, it's still within that day, right? If you come the next day, the wedding is still on. So you cannot say, I got to go check out my cows, you know. For 1 week? Not come at all? And the more you think about it, the more ridiculous those excuses become. Because the wedding ceremony is a week long. And the more you think about it, the more we understand that these guys did not put priority in that celebration, in that event. And we as a church, we as individuals need to come before God and say, God, if there is a change that needs to happen in our hearts, in our lives, beginning with our attitudes, search me, O God, that I may know what it is that has been misplaced, that perhaps there are excuses that I've been given over and over again, and some of these excuses have multiplied. And if I may use the word, evolve. To become very, very fancy. Yeah, sounds legit, you know. But it started off with a simple, I cannot come. And perhaps it's time for us in the year of change to dig deep and ask the Lord, Lord, what are some of the excuses that I've been giving for months or years, maybe, that I don't want to come. That I don't want to be involved in your thing. That I don't want to get involved in your call and what you are doing. And for months and years, those excuses have grown so much so that you look at it right now, sounds perfectly legitimate. But if you ask the Lord to dig deep, and go back to that first point where you say, I cannot come, you realize that it is, has been an excuse. Turn with me to Matthew 22. The parallel passage in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 1. Let's not read the whole passage. It's similar. But there was one thing that is mentioned here that is, you know, that's not mentioned in Luke. And that's from verse 11. Okay, everybody comes in. Verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie his hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness, where there's been weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Here in this passage, there's another picture, not only of one that have, you know, misplaced priorities and have all their priorities all upside down, not only of people who give excuses, and that excuses have multiplied to such an extent that you look at it, maybe it sounds legitimate. But here is this man who entered the wedding and he did not have wedding garments. And when the king came, the one who had organized the wedding, when he came and he saw this guy, he asked this guy, why are you here without wedding clothes? Now we need to understand that in those days, the person who invited, who organized that banquet, now he also provides guests with wedding garments, the proper garments to come in. He does that. And so, it is, you read the passage and it says, okay, all these guys are invited and then they don't want to come. Go and invite all the beggars, go and find all these guys in the streets. But when they come, not only are they provided food and celebration, they are provided the wedding garments, the appropriate garments to enter for the festival. Now this man, everybody comes in, there are beggars and, you know, people out in the streets who came in, but this person decided that I'll just come as I am. All dirty and messed up, maybe. And did not have the wedding clothes provided. What happened here? This is an act. This itself is an act of dishonor to the person who has made that invitation. You dishonor the person, the host, by the fact that you did not choose to put on that which has been provided for you. I'm more important. Why should I wear your clothes? Why can't I do things the way I do? Why can't I just wear whatever I like to wear? Why can't I just bring whatever I want into the wedding banquet? Honor is not given. In this passage in Matthew chapter 22, the king who had made that invitation. Honor was not given to the king, but honor right now has been directed not to the king, but perhaps to myself. God is about calling people to come together to worship. And sometimes we can get caught, warning, red flag, that we misdirect that honor that is due to the king to other things, and worst of all, to ourselves. God calls us, but at the same time, He's calling us to a great purpose, and He requires us to put on that which He has given to us. That too is an issue of attitude. And so for us here, as we think about these things, the firstly, attitude. Today I want us to think about three things, you know. And I've mentioned that. Number one, God calls us and we need to have the right priorities. If we want to step into the year of change, wanting God's change, not our change, but God's change upon our lives, we need to reorder our priorities so that it is not misplaced. It's not focused on our work, on our things, on our relationships, but it's focused on God. Secondly, we must be careful not to have excuses that will multiply to the extent that it becomes legitimate. I cannot come because whatever. And thirdly, honor. Honor needs to be directed to the King. The King of Kings, Jesus. And not misdirected to other things, to programs, to ourselves. And that can happen too. This guy, unlike the first group of people who said, I'm too busy and got excuses, this guy actually came. And sometimes we can come. We can be found in the presence of God. We can be found doing the things that God has called us to. We can be found there. But honor misdirected, not towards the King, but to other things. Why do you go to church? Why do you come to celebration? Who gets the honor? Where is that honor focus? Do we come because I've got nothing else better to do? Because it's a Sunday evening and if I don't come, I'll sleep anyway. Do we come because our friends are here? Are you going? Going, huh? Okay, make sure you go, huh? Then I'll come. Misdirected. God deserves the honor. It is because of Him that we come. We need to be included in that celebration, in that call that God is making. What's that call that God is making in our lives? I believe that this year, and I shared this with the leaders a couple of days back, that God is calling people back. There's a call to come together more and more. You know, in the last year, we have our attendance have been, you know, up, down, up, down. We've got some people missing this week and then others missing that week. Sounds legitimate, no? Okay? And some of them beyond control. Fine. But we've been this kind of attendance. You know? Zoom, zoom, zoom. And maybe zoom, 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 zoom. I believe that God is calling us, His people, back. We need to be found in that celebration, to be included in. There is a call to come together. And I believe that God wants to continue to grow us, especially this year. There will be an acceleration. As opposed to last year, this year there will be an acceleration in growth. Not only in our lives, but in, you know, a lot of times we say, don't worry about the numbers. It is God who's going to bring. Yes, that's true. God will bring the numbers. But it needs to begin with us. There needs to be an active participation in that call. To say, yeah, I want to be included in that. The invitation has been given to me. I want to be included. I'm not going to give excuses. I'm not going to mess up my priorities. And then when you come into the presence of God to be included in His business, we've got to put on
that which He has provided. Certain things need to be left outside when you come in. Certain attitudes need to be left outside. Certain methods, cultures needs to be left outside. And we need to put on what God has designed for us. One final thing is this. You see this parable, there's been focus on the ones that don't come. The ones that say, I cannot come. There's been focus on the ones that came, that couldn't be bothered and did not give the honor to the king that is due unto him. But I'd like us to take our eye to focus a little bit, just for this last bit, on the servants. The king calls for a banquet, right? It's a wedding banquet, sons getting married, and servants are there. They do everything. From the decoration to the cooking to the invitation, everything handled by the servants. Invitation goes out, servants come back. This guy's not coming. Why? Because one bought a field, another one bought a cow, another one bought a wife. I married a wife. Bought a wife. I cannot come. And the master says, go again. Go again because the celebration has to continue. Go again. And so they go second round. They invite all these guys to come and then they say to the master, everything's done, but there's still room. And the king says, go even further. Get everybody in because the party is going to carry on. You know, when God wants to do something, He does it. If He invites us to be part of it and we misplace our priorities, we give excuses, God's going to say this, the party is going to carry on, with or without you. God's going to do His thing with or without us. The servants go out, another round, and another round. Let's put ourselves in the perspective of the servants. When God calls us to a task to include, get the people in. Get the people in. We've got to be diligent and say, that's what I'm going to do. And when we don't see the results, one more time. When we don't see the results again, let's do it again. Because God always establishes His purposes. And His heart is with people. And when He calls a group of people, they don't respond. Don't lose heart. Our job as servants is to make that call. And then we move on to the next group. And then we move on to the next group because that's how God directs us. Don't lose heart. Keep going. And so two-prong. One, we have to be included in that party because that party is carrying, is going, you know, with or without us. We've got to get there. We've got to put aside all our excuses. We've got to put aside all the things that messes up our priorities. And when we come in, we've got to make sure that, you know, we are aligned with what God wants to do. Yeah, on the other hand, God also calls us to bring others as well. He also calls us to get others into the fellowship of His kingdom. We are called to do that. Don't lose heart. Go one round. Go the next round. Go again and again and again. Because that is God's heart. Let's bow our heads right now. As our heads are bowed, I'd like us to just come before the Lord right now and ask the Lord, how my priorities? What about excuses? Do I give a lot of excuses? Do I give excuses that I don't even realize? And as the Lord begins to reveal to you, would you just come in repentance before Him and say, God, forgive me. I want to be included in your party. I want to be included in the things that you have planned. Would you come clean before the Lord right now and say, God, count me in. Perhaps there's some of us here, we have come in year after year, month after month, and we have not given God the honor. We have just come because someone asked us to come. We have come because we should be coming. Yeah. And so we are here. But we don't give God the honor that is due unto Him. And perhaps we need to come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me, because it has been a lot of times about me, about friends, that I come. Maybe for some of us, it's been about position and recognition that you come. And we need to come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Perhaps there are others here who have been in ministry for some time and we haven't been really seeing results. God, why are you asking me to do this? Nobody wants to come. And God says, go a little bit further. And maybe you're tired. Maybe you're tired because you've been trying your very best to call people to come. But everybody's singing that song, I cannot come. And God is saying, move on, next level, go a little bit further. And maybe you've gone further, but the results are the same. Everybody again is giving that same excuse, I cannot come. And God is challenging us this time, in the year of change, go even further. That requires greater strength, greater courage. Attitudes that have been shaped and molded by His hand that will endure, that will persevere. That requires us to see authority in a whole new light and to see that our responsibility is to go and make that call. And perhaps right now, we need to come before God and say, God, give me the strength to go further. God is calling. His celebration must carry on. You know, when we talk about the celebration, it's that celebration of worship for us right now. Let's come together. Let's make that call and be part of God's party because He called us. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We pray, O God, for a renewed spirit in every single one of us here. A renewed spirit ready for the year of change. A renewed spirit ready for the things of God. A renewed spirit that is ready for what You are about to do in our lives this year. We give You thanks, O God. We give You thanks for this day. We give You thanks for Your presence here with us and Your word directly given to us. We give You thanks, O God. Lord, I pray that You will bless Your people. Lord, even as they go about whatever they need to do throughout the week, Father, I pray, O God, that Your presence will go before them, that everything that they touch would have your fingerprint in it as well. So Father, we pray your blessing upon your people as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.